Pretty good stuff, that jerky. Did you know that Slim made his own? He did. He cut meat up into strips, sprinkled it with his own blend of spices and hot peppers. Suddenly my mouth was in flames and my eyes were watering. What kind of moron would ruin a piece of jerky by covering it up with... That stuff was burning my mouth up. I began pawing at my mouth, trying to get the flames away from my tongue and lips. My eyes were watering, my nose was running. My whole mouth and tongue and lips were being consumed by a raging fire. Slim chuckled. Huh. I call that my range fire jerky, Pooch. What do you think? I thought that was the worst garbage I'd ever had in my mouth, and I should have known better than to eat anything made by a bachelor cowboy. And he sure as thunder didn't need to worry about me trying to steal any of his... He pitched a piece of it in Drover's direction. Just for a moment, I forgot all my pain and so forth and prepared myself for some fun. He's a gulper, you know, Drover is. He'll gulp down any old thing, eats like a hog, only this time the little dunce sniffed it and crawled off into a corner. Slim shook his head. Dumb dog. And then he walked up to the courthouse to buy a newspaper. Never eat any of Slim's jerky. And don't ride in the back of his pickup either. I had terrible indigestion for the rest of the day. But that's not why Slim bought the newspaper. He bought it to see if there were any ranch jobs listed in the classified ads. He let down the tail end gate and used it for a seat, spread out the paper and frowned over the classified section. The longer he read, the deeper his frown became. At last he raised up, pushed his hat to the back of his head and said, "Boys, with this dadgum cattle market like it is, ranch jobs are scarce as hen's teeth. Man alive, I don't know." Then his eye fell on something on the page. He leaned down and squinted at it. "I'll be darned. Looky here. It's an ad for Leonard's Saddle Shop. You don't reckon old Leonard moved his shop over to Canadian, do you? Heck, it's just right down the street. Might be worth a try." His expression darkened as he looked at us. What was the deal? What had we done? We'd just been sitting there like perfect dogs with our mouths on fire. Or my mouth. Drover had managed to dodge that bullet, so he'd been staring at the clouds. But the point is, Slim had no reason to be glaring at us. But he was. "Now, dogs, I'm gonna hike down to Leonard's Saddle Shop. If y'all can act halfway civilized, I'll take you with me. But you got to mind and be good, hear?" Drover and I traded glances, and I whapped my tail several times. No problem. We took a solemn oath to be dogs that would make our master proud. I mean, who wants to sit in the back of a pickup when there are exciting places to explore? Not me, and if the price for going was to be a perfect, obedient dog, I was ready to give it a shot. And besides, he hadn't actually said we had to be perfect. He'd said, and this is a direct quote, he'd said that we had to act halfway civilized. You bet, no problem. So we set out walking down the hill, looking into every store window and checking out all the sights of town. Drover and I followed behind Slim. I mean, you'd have thought we were a couple of those high-dollar border collies that have been to college and stuff. We hadn't gone far when we passed a payphone on the curb. Slim stopped, snapped his fingers, and walked over to it. "Almost forgot. I need to call Loper and tell him where his dogs are. And I wonder how his deal with the banker went. Probably not so good." He dug into his jeans pocket and came out with a quarter. He dropped it into the slot, listened to the jingle it made, and dialed the number. He waited and waited. A scowl gathered on his brow and the longer he waited, the deeper and darker it got. He held the receiver away from his ear and said something to it, then slammed it down into the holder. He waited for his quarter to come back, but it didn't. I could see that he was getting mad. He rattled the receiver and banged on the box. The quarter didn't come back, and by now he was really steamed. His eye fell on a piece of paper lying in the gutter. He stomped over to it, snatched it up, wrote a message on it with a ballpoint pen, and fixed it to the phone where everyone could see it. It said, "This phone is a liar and a thief. It stole a quarter from an unemployed cowboy who needed it." He stepped back and read his work, then shot a glance at us dogs. "There, by grabs, that'll teach 'em." We continued our walk down the street until we came to a store window that said Leonard's Saddle Shop. Saddles, ropes, tack, chaps, and boot repair. A cowboy place. Slim didn't go in right away. He squinted his eyes and peered into the window. It was fairly dark inside and he didn't see anyone, so he paced for a while and grumbled under his breath. At last, he worked up enough courage to take a harder look. He went to the glass door, cupped his hands around his eyes, and pressed his face against the glass. All at once, the door flew open, and there stood Leonard, a smallish man with beady little eyes, who was wearing black cowboy boots and a dirty apron. He didn't appear too friendly at first. He glared at us dogs, then at Slim, and a crooked smile formed on his lips.
"Well, I knew it was a country fool leaving nose prints on my front door."
He wiped the glass door with his shirt sleeve.
"Howdy do, Slim. Get yourself in here. It's been a while. Sit down there by the stove and warm your bones."
He held the door and, well, he hadn't actually invited us dogs to come in, but he hadn't told us not to, so you might say that we, well, made a run for the stove. We made it through the door without any... Okay, maybe Slim tripped over me as I went streaking between his legs, but mostly it was a slick entry. We headed straight for the big gas stove in the middle of the store, hit the floor, and assumed the curled-up position of dogs who had, well, been there for hours. Dogs who belonged in a saddle shop, just as surely as the stove belonged there. I closed my eyes but kept my ears alert for any problems. I held my breath and waited. Slim muttered something about almost knocked me down, but that was it. He didn't order us outside. See, I'd known all along that he'd wanted us to come in, and in exchange for that, he got our solemn pledge to be perfect dogs. No barking or wrestling, no throwing up on the floor, no crude behavior of any kind. Slim came over and pulled up one of the chairs beside the stove. I heard it scrape across the floor, and I cracked one eye. He sat down and threw one leg over the other knee, and I noticed that he seemed to be scowling down at, well, me, us, someone down there.
"You boys are making yourselves right at home, I see."
"Oh yes, fine, thanks. Nice stove." Leonard closed the door and joined us at the stove. He had a sparkle in his eyes and was rubbing his hands together.
"Slim, you have come here on a good day."
"Uh-oh."
"No, now hear me out. I have some fine boots I need to sell, and it is clear to me that you need a pair of my fine boots."
"Whatever gave you that idea?"
"The duct tape, Slim. It don't match the color of your boots. Now I have some Sanders bull hides that will fit you like a glove, and I can feel a weakness coming over me even as we speak. If you was to offer me $70,
"Ain't got it, Leonard."
$60,
"Can't handle it."
Leonard scowled.
"How about a new rope?"
Slim shook his head.
"A cinch webbing?"
He threw a glance at us.
What do you call them dogs?
Eat and sleep.
Huh. That's good. Now about that new pair of boots.
Slim shook his head.
Leonard, I fell on hard times.
And he told Leonard all the things that had happened to us that day.
So here I am in Canadian. Broke, no job, no place to stay. All I've got to my name is these two dogs, and they ain't even my dogs.
Leonard chewed his lip.
Slim, do you know what you need?
Sure, a rich widder woman with a 40-section ranch, 800 oil wells, and a yellow Cadillac.
Ha! Well, yes, who don't? But what you really need, son,
he reached over and poked Slim on the arm,
is a nice little job.
I know, but I already checked the paper. Nothing.
Leonard studied his fingernails.
Well, now, it might depend on what you're willing to do. I agree the cowboy work is scarce right now. Timing's wrong. It's winter, and the cattle market's bad. But there might be other things.
Such as?
Leonard arched his brows and folded his hands across his chest.
You won't like it. I mean, I know you, Slim. I know your breed. I used to be a cowboy myself, and if it couldn't be done a horseback, I wouldn't do it. Am I right?
Well, I've had them thoughts, yes, but that was before this deal come up. Did you have something in mind?
Leonard walked past the counter and went to the back of the shop. He stopped at a workbench and started cutting out a piece of leather.
No, you wouldn't do it. You got too much of that cowboy pride.
Slim pushed himself up and walked to the counter.
Never mind the cowboy pride. Keep talking.
Well, sir, how would you feel about cleaning out a chicken house?
Slim's brows jumped, and he swallowed so hard his Adam's apple did a flip. He walked to the front window and stared out. Then he walked back to the counter.
It's what I've always dreamed of doing, Leonard. Since I was a boy, I've always wanted to clean out a chicken house.
Leonard barked a laugh.
But I need a place to sleep, and I ain't too keen on sleeping in a chicken house.
Leonard wiped his hands on his apron and came striding over to the counter.
I've got this little place on the edge of town. Keep my horse Billy there, you know. And it's got an old chicken house. Now my wife's got it in her head to start raising fryers again. And she's been after me to clean out the chicken house. Naturally, I've found 52 reasons why I can't do it. What do you say?
Does it come with a bed?
It's got a house, cute little house, just perfect for you and them dogs.
What does that mean?
Leonard looked up at the ceiling.
Well, it ain't exactly a house.
What exactly is it?
A camper trailer, Slim, and just as cute as a button. You'll love it.
Slim stared at the floor.
A camper trailer? Does it have an inside pot?
It's got a mayonnaise jar on the inside and a one-hole Johnny on the outside. And Slim, that's all a man like you needs.
Leonard came around the counter, put his hand on Slim's shoulder, and started easing him towards the door.
It'll take you a couple of days. I'll pay you $100 and grub. I'll even furnish the shovel and wheelbarrow. What a deal, huh?
Well,
and if you decide to blow your wages on boots, I'll make you a heck of a swap.
By that time, they had reached the door. Leonard reached around Slim and opened it.
Here's $20. Get yourself some grub at the grocery store. When you're done, come by and we'll settle up.
He gave Slim a pat on the shoulder and pushed him towards the door.
Yeah, but Leonard,
let me know how that indoor pot works. And don't forget to feed my horse.
And with that, Slim left the store. leaving us dogs inside.